Good morning. It is a joy to be with you all. I love when the little ones are upstairs and they're praising God with their voices and crying out. I love it. I just stopped singing for a moment just to listen to them, and it was just so endearing, so amazing to see what God can do in their lives when you hear those praises. And it makes me happy to think that we're pouring into these kids and what they're going to do. They're not the church tomorrow, but they're the church today, and I'm so thankful for that. So it is good to be with you. My name is Ben Kendrew. I am the campus pastor here at Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights. It is just a welcome to our visitors, those of you who are new here. Just welcome. We are in the midst of our sermon series, if you haven't been with us in a while, or this first day. It's called Jesus Changes Everything. And in this sermon series, we were looking at the book of Philippians, and it's Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. And as he's writing this letter, it's known as the letter of joy. He's writing to a group of Christians, a group of believers that he loves, that he did ministry with, that he did life together. He has this admiration and love for this Philippian church. And so it's very pastoral. It's very moving. It's a very encouraging thing. He understands the idea, the concept that Jesus changes everything, because Jesus changed everything in Paul's life. And so we thought, wait, what a great way to look in the Bible, see what the scriptures say, what that looks like. In week one, we talked about this, that Christ is my life, that Paul had a perspective in his life that when he submitted his life, when he turned his life over and obeyed Jesus, that Jesus became his whole life. He became everything to him. And then in the second week, we looked at this, that once Jesus became Paul's life, his everything, it then became his attitude, the way he thought about his life, the way he lived his life, and he approached life. And his attitude was impacted in all areas of his life. It impacted him moving forward. It made him go to the ends of the earth. He wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. So his attitude was one of Jesus Christ. Last week, we talked about goal. Christ is my goal. In chapter 3, we looked at Paul's goal, like a runner moving forward. His goal was Christ to finish. His finish line was Jesus. And today we're going to look, this is where we're going, and we're going to wrap up the book of Philippians, which is one of my favorite books, by the way. You probably heard me say that a lot, but it is. It's truly one of my favorite books. But Christ is my contentment. Say contentment. Christ is my contentment. And when you think about the idea of a cup, I know that I have dishwasher, my kids help unload the dishes, and a cup. And you just imagine right now a cup that you're holding, and just think about this. You're told that this cup satisfies your thirst. It satisfies your thirst. But as you start to pour water into this cup, you pour into this cup, you know, that's there, and you pour into the relationships, and you pour in some success, and you pour into some dreams that you might have. But no matter how much you pour into the cup never fills up. This cup just continues to leak out. And you're like, what's going on with this cup, right? Why? Because at the bottom of the cup, there's a crack. You guys have any like cups like that in your house? Some of you are raising your hand. You're brave. I appreciate that. But in the bottom of that cup, it's a crack, and you pour that in there. Melanie, my wife, would immediately throw that cup away. She's like, we're moving on from it. So no sentimental value there. But so we continue to pour, and we pour more, and we pour more. And eventually, we become exhausted pouring all these different things into this cup, not because there isn't enough supply, but because the container can't hold it. And so that's what life feels like. That's the tension that we feel. That's what life feels like, that in our lives are like this cup that we're pouring all of this stuff into it, and it just leaks out, and it doesn't seem like it's enough. Have you ever been there? That just life doesn't feel like it's enough, and you feel like maybe it's my life that can't hold all this. I know I certainly feel that way. But that's what many people are living their lives like that. We pour many things into our lives, hoping that it will satisfy us, hoping that it'll give us just enough or meet that happiness or whatever that is thing we're looking for. We're feeling like if we pour this thing into this cup, it'll bring me contentment or satisfaction. But what happens? We find out we're not content. We're not satisfied. We don't have peace. And we continue to search more. And so, not that those things are bad. I want to make sure you hear that. Those, you know, looking for a career or pouring into relationships, in and of themselves, those things are good, but they're never meant to fill your soul, right? They're not meant to fill your soul. And so we think that, we approach it that way. They're not meant to fill your soul. But here's what Paul knew. The Apostle Paul knew this, that contentment is found in Jesus Christ. That all of that other stuff, the success and the relationships, those are good to an extent. But what Paul realized is that Christ was what his heart was longing for. Christ was what gave him contentment and meaning in his life. I don't know where you are this morning. Like, do you feel content in your life? Do you feel like you have a contentment that is like Christ is your contentment? Do you feel that way? If you have your Bible, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to start with verse 1. And this is what he says. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. And so in Paul's tone in this voice, as he starts out in Philippians chapter 4, he has an admiration and a love for these people. He loves them. So he says, you know, for you are my joy. That's an amazing thing. I can hear that in Paul's thing, his approach. And so the question I want to ask you, are you content? Are you content? And so just not for a moment, just not when things are going well, not when you're on the mountaintop, but deep down, are you truly content with where you are, right? Because the truth is that most people are not content. And that's the reality. Many people that I have conversations with, many people that I've prayed with over the years as a pastor, they're missing that contentment in Christ. They're looking for that next thing. They're looking to fill up their cup with something other than Jesus. But Paul knew that contentment only comes through Jesus Christ. The truth is that people are not content, and that's where we have this wrestling with in this passage. But we live in the world, and I believe this, and you can see it in advertising and ads on your screen as you're scrolling, that we live in a world that constantly bombards us and tells us that contentment is just one step away or one click away or whatever it may be, that you know, it's a little bit more money, a better job, a bigger house, a different season of life. It's just so close. It's right there. The Titan John Rockefeller once was asked, who said, how much more would it take for you to be happy? And he was a very affluent man at the time. And this is what he said. He said, just a little more. Just a little more. A man who had everything, he says, what would it take for you to be happy? His response was just a little more. That's very telling. That's a mindset that creeps into our culture, it creeps into the church, and it creeps into our hearts and keeps us from missing, from receiving all that God wants to bless us with, for keeping our cup filled. But what happens is that we're not content, and we're continually searching for more. So that's my question. Are you content this morning? And so the context of Philippians 4, just coming to where we're going, the Apostle Paul was formerly known as Saul, came into a relationship with Jesus. It changed his life. He began to go and preach the gospel. He developed churches, and you look at all the different letters that we have in the New Testament. Paul was eventually captured and sent to prison in Rome. And so because of his efforts, he was persecuted. He went through all kinds of bad things and difficult things. But most people believe Paul wrote the book of Philippians in jail. Can you believe that? He wrote it in jail. Like, think, that's just an amazing concept to think about. A man who's thankful and counting it a joy, and his attitude and his life, his perspective are there. His contentment is there. He's writing from jail. What would your response truly be if you were to write something from jail? I don't know. I'm going to assume it wouldn't be like Paul's. And so Paul was changed to a guard. His freedom was gone. He didn't know when he was going to live or die, how long. There were all these different things, but Paul had this contentment, even in the difficult circumstances of his life, that passes understanding. He was able to find that contentment in Christ. And so as he writes this, his resume of pain, as I've said before, he had a baseball card. On the back of that baseball card, you could see all the different things that he went through. He was beaten many times. He was shipwrecked, snake bitten. How many of you have ever been bitten by a snake? One person here, two people, three, no, just two, okay. We did not expect that to happen just now. Wow, right. He was shipwrecked. He was rejected over and over, and then, of course, persecuted and in prison. And ultimately, he would be killed and martyred for his faith. But the difference with Paul is that you can see in the book of Philippians, and that's what makes this letter such an amazing thing. He's writing from jail in one of the dark dungeons. He's writing, or like a house church, one of those things. But he's writing from jail, and they call it the letter of joy. That, to me, is a man who understands who God is, who understands his relationship with Christ, who understands his calling, and understands what it really means to have enough. Like, I have enough because of who Christ is. I have enough because of what Jesus did for me, and I'm okay with that. He is enough for me. And so Paul isn't just teaching theory about contentment. He's living this truth out because of who Christ is. He's writing from experience. He's using his life as a witness, speaking to this church. And think about that. Is your life speaking to people that you have joy, that you have a contentment in Christ? Or are you just kind of like that bitter beer guy face? Like, you know, or the guy in the Muppets in the balcony. If you don't know those references, Google them. Are you bitter, right? Are you miserable? Are you getting better as you get older, or are you getting bitter? Right? And so for Paul, he understood that contentment, what it means. And so for him, contentment is not found in a something. It's found in the someone, and that someone is Jesus Christ. Paul understood that. He understood that and lived that out. And so for him to endure all of those things that were on his baseball card, right, that he was able to do that because of the power of Christ. And so contentment is not found in a something. It's found in a someone. And we need to understand that. That because we're bombarded with the idea of stuff and consumerism and consumer Christianity. How can you entertain me? How can I? But here's the thing. The reality is this. Is that what's not what we're called to do? We're called to live lives that we're content as Christians. That Jesus is enough. Do you believe that this morning? Is Jesus enough in your life? Or are you continually looking outward for something else in your life? So there's a difference. The idea this morning is just simple. What does it mean to have contentment in Christ versus complacency? Like, I'm good. It is what it is, right? And so contentment is this. Contentment is a peaceful trust in God no matter the circumstances. A peaceful trust in God no matter the circumstances. I know this, that when I'm going through difficult times, when I'm going through, I went through the last 2 years, I've had three different surgeries. It's been unreal. And there have been times where I haven't had this contentment. I've had a lot of doubts. I've had a lot of questions. Times I was sad. Sometimes I was angry. Have you ever been that way? Right? And so contentment is that peaceful trust in God, no matter the circumstance. That you can have this contentment in life. This is something I've been, like, at 49 years old right now, two adult kids. I've been married for 26 years. I'm still trying to understand, like, more and more. Lord, I want to be content in living in you. And it's tough because there's all kinds of bills and things and stuff that you're trying to do. There's debts, right? But here's the thing. Where you've got to come to the point, as Paul said, is to have a peaceful trust in God. That's a great saying, right? A peaceful trust. Do you have that trust in God? Is it like, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to get through this, but it's a peaceful trust. Like, understanding who God is, what Scripture says who God is. We're understanding and putting our faith in that no matter the circumstance. No matter what happens, come what may, I'm going to be content because of what Jesus did. We're going to be content because of those things I talked about as we took communion this morning. That his body was broken, that his blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. That I'm going to find contentment in that. That if I have that, that's a life worth living. Amen? But here's the thing. Complacency is the opposite of that. There's a difference there. Complacency is passive indifference that resists growth. Passive indifference. Like, whatever. My daughter will sometimes say, whatevs, you know, like, whatever. Like, whatever happens, right? But that helps. That doesn't cause us to grow or mature as believers. We just become complacent in our faith. And so Paul was talking about this. He's encouraging this church in Philippi to be content in Christ because of what he's done, no matter the circumstance, to be content. Because there were Christians in that church that were complacent. They were, they're just kind of just stagnant. They're just okay sitting there. And it's a wake-up call to the church today. Not just Brighton Heights, but the greater church, the Big C. Don't just be complacent. There are people within our community right around here on the north side and around the world that need to know about the good news that's found in Jesus. And so we can't be complacent. We don't have that option. We're called to step up and be active in our faith. And so contentment says God is enough. Complacency says I don't care anymore. Which one is you this morning up there? Is God enough for you this morning? Or are you saying, I don't care anymore? I just reached that spot. Because life is tough. I get it. I really do. I understand that life is tough. But complacency is not going to get you closer to God. It's not. What's going to get you closer to God is understanding what he did in the pages of Scripture, what he's done to four and other saints in this church and through history, that he's laid down his life and they could say, God is enough. When I reach the end of my life, that's what I want to see. I want us to be able to say, God is enough. I don't want to say, if I just had one more round of you know, a job or a place where I can work to get that vacation house or to pay off. It's never going to be enough, right? And so God is enough. And so contentment is active. So contentment, when Paul knew this, as Paul was preaching to the Philippian church, he was trying to get them to understand that as they have faith, as God was his attitude and his life and his goal, that meant that there was an activeness. There was a participation that was supposed to be there. That contentment is active and complacency is stagnant. And so as believers, we're called to be actively pursuing our faith and going hard after God and not just kind of sitting there like a couch potato. That's not what we're meant to do. And so if we're approaching God in worship, we're supposed to do with contentment. God is enough. Because he's enough, I can face tomorrow. Amen. And so Philippians 4 is this call that Paul says toward the end as he's writing to this church that's saying, God is enough. God is enough. And so the first point I want us to think about is if God is enough, we're going to do this. We're going to rejoice in our circumstances. We're going to be able to rejoice in our circumstances. I'm not talking about walking around with a goofy clown grin on your face. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying you'll be able to rejoice because of who God is. Look at Philippians 4, 4 through 7. This is what it says. Always be full of joy in the Lord. And for many years as a believer, I found it hard to always be joyful. But I understood there's a difference there. There's a contentment that's the secret. I say it again, rejoice. Paul's like, let me say that one more time. Let me remind you. I'm going to emphasize this. Rejoice. Verse 5, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. In verse 6, don't worry or be anxious about anything. Remember, he's writing this from jail. Don't worry or be anxious about anything. Instead, pray about everything. When we're going through anxious times, that's one of the things that's got kind of a marker in us. That like, okay, I got to slow down here and pray about this and ask God about it. And everything, pray about it. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. In verse 7, then you will experience God's peace. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. That's what it is. That's where the happiness or joy comes from. It's not the goofy smile, but it's understanding there's a contentment in Christ and who God is that we can have this contentment. Or another way that you might have heard is a peace that passes understanding. His peace, I love this verse. I say this a lot to people when they're going through difficulties or they lost the loss of a loved one or they're going through a medical procedure. Paul says this, his peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The peace of Christ to guard your hearts. And so Paul knows this, to understand what it means to have the peace of Christ. A man who's been persecuted, he's gone through a lot of different things. He's not just giving you Christian cliches or bumper stickers. He's speaking from experience. He's speaking truth. He's speaking his testimony to you. Guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ. Rejoice always. What an attitude. What a man that could be able to do this. It really is. It's his light was never extinguished by the circumstances that he faced. His light was able to shine before men and before God in any circumstances. And I love that about his life. So when life is hard, our first instinct should it's not joy. When we begin to worry, when I begin worrying about bills, I don't think, I'm going to be happy about this. That's not our first instinct. That's just not normal for us. So our normal instinct is to worry. And Paul's saying, listen, when Christ is enough, you're going to have that joy. It's going to make sense. It's going to pass understanding when Christ is that for you. So don't worry. Trust in who God is. Have you ever been in the building? I know that as a youth pastor back in the day that I'd go on these retreats and inevitably some kid would knock out the power on his retreat and the building would be dark and then you'd have those exit signs or the emergency lights turn on. Everything goes dark and then suddenly those signs go on and kind of lead everybody back out to the door, right? And then when they shine and give you direction on where you should go. That's what our lives should be like, those lights, those emergency lights. That we're in those dark situations, they should be a light to shine to help people follow and go to Christ. But oftentimes we don't. We hide that light and we say, I'm going to just be anxious. I'm going to worry. And again, that's kind of what we're prone to do because of Genesis 3. We're prone to do that. But Paul was always like just shining and he was be able to shine his light for others to see. What was his secret? How did he do that? He prayed. He was a man of prayer. Are you a person of prayer this morning? What I love about Bridge City Brighton Heights at 8 a.m., there's a group that prays for you all, that prays for the leadership here. They just lift everything up in prayer. It gives me confidence. It gives me hope. But what it gives me is understanding that there's a contentment, there's a peace that is among the people here. And that's what we're praying, that the Holy Spirit will move amongst us and it'll make us the people that are content in all that we're facing, all that we're doing. But that's the secret for Paul, is he was able to pray about those things. And you're saying, well, Pastor, it's hard for me to pray. I get it. You know, when I was a youth pastor, I'd have kids that would say, well, I would pray right before I go to bed. And I would say, well, sit up. You're falling asleep, right? Like, sit up. Just like maybe go on your knees and pray. Or I have trouble finding time. Well, pray in the shower. Or pray on the drive time into work or on the way home from work. Pray. Or in your head silently, just pray without ceasing, right? That was Paul's secret to have a peace that passes understanding. That was his secret. He found contentment that way. And here's the thing. When your life goes dark, what lights you up? When your life goes dark, what lights you up? Or is it fear or faith? Is it fear or faith? And my hope and prayer, obviously, is I want faith to. And I understand that we're going to wrestle with that fear. So we get anxious. What do we get anxious about? We get anxious about relationships, our finances. We get anxious about our health. That's where I've been living. And then we get anxious about the future. What does the future hold? And so those are the things that cause us to be anxious. But Paul reminds the Philippian church, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, continually going after. And the attitude, he says, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And so this attitude that Paul has, this perspective, he went to God and prayed to him. Content. He talks about guarding your mind when the peace of Christ is there, when you become a person of prayer, that the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. Like the biblical word guard there means like a soldier standing guard at a entrance to a fort or something like that. That's what the peace of Christ will do. It will stand on guard, protecting you from the attacks of the enemy of our souls. From the stuff that comes at us when we're like, what am I thinking here? But the peace of Christ will guard your hearts. Paul knew that. Contentment engages God in every situation. Contentment engages God in every situation. Complacency checks out and says, it is what it is. You ever said, it is what it is? Yeah, it's not a fun saying. I don't like that one. But contentment contentment engages God in every situation. You're seeking God. You're looking at like how God is moving. What is God saying? What is God trying to do in me, right? And that's what contentment does. And so what are you doing with your anxiety? The reality is this, we've never been more anxious people in history. It's just, there's science behind that. We're more anxious than we ever have been. And so contentment engages God in every situation. So when you have those anxious thoughts, when you have those unguarded moments at night, when you wake up at like 3 a.m., have you ever done that? Okay, I just make sure I'm not the only one, right? The peace of Christ can rule your heart when you surrender that to him, but you have to be a person of prayer. That was Paul's secret. He went to God in prayer. My hope and prayer is that whatever you're going through today, that you will go to God in prayer. Stop carrying it around and surrender that thing to him because he can carry it. His strength is enough. Our strength, my strength is not enough. So here's the second thing we need to do. We need to adjust your mind. We need to adjust our minds. How this was a big thing for Paul, renewing your mind and renewing your hearts and not conforming, but this adjusting your mind. Look what he says in verses 8 through 9. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true. Oh, man. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and praiseworthy. I love that. Verse 9, keep putting into practice. Say, put into practice. That was good. All you have learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Okay, he's a man who's speaking like, model this after me because I'm modeling it after Jesus. He says this, then the God of peace will be with you. Then the God of peace will be with you. And so he's talking about this when we adjust our minds and we think about these things. I look at the news today and it looks like some bad movie. I go out and fill up my gas tank and I just like try to fight the anger on how much it costs to fill up my car. Or I look at what my kids encounter on the TV. Like it just, like I have to adjust my thinking and I have to think about those things that are lovely and pure and honorable. And so much of my life, I've thought about the negative things. Some of us, that's just the way life has been hard, and so it's easy to go that way. And Paul says, if you're going to adjust your mind, if you're going to have biblical, Christ-centered contentment, you've got to think about the things that are pure and lovely and right and so on. That was Paul's secret on how to have contentment. Think about those things. Contentment starts in your mind. It starts in your mind, and so you don't drift into peace. You don't just kind of like, oh, I'm just going to think about peace and I'm going to drift into it. It takes time to do that. You have to train your mind to do that. You've got to train your life through repentance, through surrender, through worship, you know, and coming to the Lord and surrendering that. And so how you see life, if we only see life as negative and we live in comparison of our lives to other people's lives and we look at Instagram and it makes us feel yucky, you know, those types of things, or we have fears, we're thinking about the wrong things, and Paul's saying, don't think about those things. That's easier said than done, believe me, I know, but that was his secret to contentment. And maybe someone here this morning needs to hear that, is that you need to adjust your mind, because for so long you have lived in the negative, and God's saying this morning, he's like, I don't want you to live that way. I want you to think about what is pure and lovely, right? That's what he wants us to live, and so it starts with our mind and our mindset. I'm not talking about just positive thinking. I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about a surrendered mind to God, to a Christ-centered mind, thinking about him. You think of, and it was beautiful, Linda talked about a mirror, how we see ourselves in our prayer time this morning. And one of the illustrations I have is if you think about a mirror and a window, a mirror and a window. Think about a mirror reflects everything back on you. You look at a mirror, it reflects everything back on you. But when you look out a window, that window helps you see beyond yourself. That window helps you see like in the distance. It helps you see not just yourself, but what is going on there. And so some of us are living like mirrors, that everything is reflecting back on us when really it's not. It's not meant to be. It's not to minimize what you're going through. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is this, is that if we live and shift our minds and how we think to like a window, we'll see God's goodness. We'll see God's blessing, his truth, his faithfulness in our lives. And when we shift that perspective in our minds. Some of us need that this morning. Some of us are stuck in our minds just thinking about the negative things. And believe me, I know. Believe me, I know it's tough. It's easy. It's easy to get there. But I want to encourage you in the name of Jesus to think about those things that are pure and right. That's how we're supposed to think about this. Put it into practice. Putting it into practice means maybe you get off of social media for a while. Maybe you examine the things you're taking into your heart and your mind. I don't know what that is, but putting it into practice. So practice makes perfect. Don't just hear the words, but don't just agree with it, but we're called to live that out in our lives. Contentment. Contentment is this, thinking right and living right. So right thinking and right living. Complacency is knowing the truth, but never applying it. You can sit here Sunday after Sunday and hear me or somebody else preach, and you hear Aaron and the team, you hear all these different truths being presented in like beautiful ways, but the complacency attitude, the complacency mind is not going to ever apply it. You're just gonna sit here like consumers. Feed me, entertain me. That's what it's like. And so that's what we're called to do. And so adjust your mind. Are you content this morning? Maybe it's your mind that's holding you back from moving forward in your faith. Maybe it's the way you think is holding you back from growing into the man or the woman you're called to be. And believe me, it's a call to surrender. It's identifying that. It begins with that first, that step where I'm saying, I need to do this. And I'm going to surrender this. I'm going to change the way I think. Because when you change the way you think, your mind's going to be renewed and you're going to have the contentment of Christ. I know it. Here's the other thing. God is calling us to grow, and so we begin by changing the way we think. Here's the third point, that as we find contentment in Christ, we need to first find our strength in Christ. Paul was able, as he's in the jail in Philippi, he was able to find strength in Christ, understanding who Jesus was. Like, just not intellectual consent or hearing stories about him or watching documentaries, but he actually knew that Christ was his strength. He understood his own weaknesses, his limitations. He understood that. And so for him, he found his strength in Christ. Where do you place your strength this morning? Is there strength in you? Is it in your religion? Is it in your politics? I don't know what it is, but it should be in Christ. And so he says this in verses 10 through 14. Paul says this, verse 10, "How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me." He's talking to the church. Now that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I'm going to read that again. For I have learned how. I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is a full stomach or empty, with plenty or with little. Verse 13, this is the greatest hits one. For I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. And so as he's writing about this, as Paul writes about finding his strength in Christ, he's understanding this. He's understanding that everything that he's been through, he had the right education. He came from the right location in the Middle East. He had all of those things, but then he was also imprisoned. He understood what it meant to have little. And so some of us have been on both sides of the spectrum, right? We've understood that. And so, but it takes us some time. It takes life experience. It takes for the Holy Spirit to teach us and soften us and give us the eyes to see. But what I hear in this passage is that word learned. Paul learned what it meant to be content, right? What are you learning in the pain and struggles that you've gone through? Because that's the difficulty, like is taking that painful thing, and some of you have been through awful stuff. But what we can do is this, what we're finding contentment is learning through those difficult things. It takes time and investment to learn to be content, whatever circumstance it is. I'm sure we could spend the rest of today, everybody sharing a painful story and what you learned. It would be amazing. I would love to do that at some point, just to everybody share something. Maybe they're at the men's and women's night coming up. We can do that. But for Paul, contentment came through learning what it meant to have a lot and what it meant to have nothing. Maybe that's where we are today. I've been to Liberia. I've been to Haiti, right? But I've also been to L.A. and San Diego and some affluent places. I've been to Swickley, too, right? But it takes this learning. I've had plenty and I've had nothing. I've been full and I've been hungry. So Paul understood it. He understood what it meant to be learning. He was a forever student of what God's ways were. He was always trying to learn. And so he understood this, that what he was going through, that it was from God, and he was going to be able to take something from that. Whatever you're going through right now, whatever you have gone through, learn from it. Maybe God's having you go through that to help somebody else who's currently going through that. Or we'll go through that someday. So learning from that. And so when you think of a tree, as Paul learned what it meant to be content and who he was in Christ, he was like a tree. Sam mentioned this today as he prayed. That he was like a tree that was rooted down. His roots were so strong in the Lord. His roots of his life, like a big tree, were rooted in there, that whatever came his way, whether my people that were snake bitten today, where are you again? If it was snake bites, or if it was storms, shipwrecked, or just struggles, and he was able to endure that because of his roots in Christ. He was able to endure all that, not because of his own strength, certainly was a strong man, but he was able to endure those things because he was like a tree that was rooted in Christ. That's what we're called to be. That's what he's reminding the church in Philippi to do, is to find their contentment in Christ and to be rooted in him. And it isn't just some office scripture, you know, or like a quote, you know, like teamwork, right? This, I can do all things, is endurance. It's pressing on. It's dealing with the difficult things. And Paul knew that because of Christ, he was able to do all things. It just wasn't like, go get them, a bootstraps scripture. But this was like, he understood my strength. I'm able to have contentment because my strength is in God, no matter the circumstance. Are you able to say that this morning? Some of you are, I know that. But some of you might be struggle right now. You say, I need that. I need Jesus to be my strength right now. What are your roots? Where are your roots located in your life? Are you rooted in Christ, or are you rooted in stuff? Paul, again, says, I've had plenty and I've been full, as that scripture says. And in all of it, I've learned the secret. What was Paul's secret? That his sufficiency was not in himself, but it was the sufficiency of Christ that was his secret to be able to deal with all of those different things. Christ sufficiency, not self-sufficiency. Some of us need to learn that lesson as we're trying to do things and push things that we need to get out of the way so God can use our lives. And he wants us to understand that he is our strength. You can rely on him. He's not going to let you down. So if you have Christ, if you have a relationship with Christ, if you have an attitude with Christ, and you have a life that's in Christ, and you have a goal that's focusing on Christ, you have everything. Everything. If you have little or much, no matter where you live, even if it's in Swickley, right? But if you're in Christ, you have everything. And so contentment does not isolate you, it connects you. Paul knew this as he like did life, as he went around and did ministry in this time, that as he had more contentment, it drove him to have relationships with others. You could hear in this letter written to the Philippians the tone, I love you guys. I love this church. I thank my God every time I remember you. You can hear it. This contentment drove him to have more community. And so oftentimes when we're not content, we isolate ourselves. And that's the furthest thing that what God wants for your life. He wants you to be in community just as Paul was. And so contentment is this. Contentment depends on Christ. Contentment depends on Christ. Complacency avoids effort and withdraws. Have you ever felt like that? Yeah, I'm just going to withdraw. I'm just going to withdraw. I don't need everybody. I don't want everybody knowing my stuff. I'm not going to bother anybody. We just withdraw. And so Paul, even in jail, wrote this loving letter and wanted to be in community with this Philippian church. In our life circumstances, if we're truly content in Christ, we're going to see community. That's one of the great things about this church. It's a church of community. But whatever you're going through, I want to encourage you, don't isolate yourself. Don't do that. Find a community. Get connected. And so if you're content and you have a relationship with Jesus, you're going to find that in him. My daughter, Emma, when she was a little girl, she's 19, she likes snow globes. My stepfather would bring her a Disney snow globe. And she loved them. She just liked these snow globes. And so if you think about a snow globe, and when you shake it, when you shake that snow globe, what happens? The snow goes everywhere. It begins to do like a whirlpool. And then eventually over time, when you set that snow globe down or you just hold still, what happens? Things became calm and became clear and it gives us a different picture. You're able to see differently. And clarity returns when we're not in a kind of a snow globe mentality, right? That's what happens when we bring our lives to God, when we surrender our lives to God and say, Jesus is everything. That snow globe moment will stop and you'll have clarity and you'll have peace because Jesus is everything, amen? And so let me ask you again, are you content this morning? Are you content or are you constantly shaken by life like that snow globe? Is your life like a snow globe right now? Because here's the thing, when you have contentment in Christ, he kind of brings that clarity. He brings things to order. He begins to give you understanding that doesn't make sense within the world, but in Christ, it does make sense. Contentment says this. I want to close with this. Contentment says this. I will rejoice. I will pray. I will focus on truth, and I will depend on Christ. That's the attitude. Those are some of the secrets of what it means to have contentment today. But complacency, if we're honest, complacency says, I'll just get by. I won't change. I won't grow. And we're just settling for whatever has in this life. And so I can tell you this, that God didn't make you just to cope in this life. He made you for victory. He wanted you to have a relationship with him now. He wants you to find contentment in a relationship with him. And he wants you to know, because of what he did on the cross, and you surrender your life to him, you can have everything this morning. I'm going to invite you to stand. We think about contentment, we think about our lives, we think about where we've been and what we've been through. And contentment is this, it's not found in your circumstances, but it's found in Christ Jesus. And some of you here this morning, maybe for the first time, it was like, this makes sense to me. And if that's you, I just want to pray with you right now, that if this will be the day where you say, this is where I'm going to have Jesus in my life. My life's not going to be like a snow globe, but I'm going to have contentment in a relationship with him. If that's you, heads bowed and eyes closed. Everybody, heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want you to do something bold this morning. I want you to raise your hand so I can pray with you right now. That you can find contentment and peace in relationships. Head bowed and eyes closed. And so, Father, I pray for those individuals right now who have a life like a snow globe, upside down and not sure what's happening, not much clarity. Right now, I pray for Jesus to enter their lives. Lord, that you would come to them, that they would understand that they need a Savior, that they would believe with all their hearts, with all their minds, they would commit their lives to you. So, Father, I pray you bless them. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Give them the courage and the strength to do what they need to do. And for those of you who've been walking with Jesus for a long time, who have said the prayer before, and just maybe right now you're just not content. Things aren't the way they should be. And things aren't going like you wish they should be. And you just need more peace and more contentment in your life. And if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Raise it high. And so, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters with their hands raised right now. I pray that they would find contentment and meaning in their relationship with you. Lord, that you'd begin to make sense through their difficulties and their pain that they're going through. Lord, that you give them clarity. Lord, that you would help them to be still in these moments so you can speak, that your Holy Spirit would move upon their life. And Father, I pray this morning that they'd be able to recommit their lives to you right now. That no longer will they just be complacent, but they'll step out and know that you are everything because of what Jesus did. So Father, I pray a blessing upon them right now. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated.
And thank you, Pastor Ben. You give Pastor Ben a hand. Thank you so much for preparing that. And right now we are going to continue to move forward.